Last week, as we studied from the book of 1 Corinthians, we looked at this list of sins that the apostle put forward, and this great reminder that of such were some of you. And we gloried in what God has done in the life of his people. You know, reflecting, and I encourage you all in this to reflect on what God has done in your life. And 1 Corinthians has been a difficult book so far, and it's as if Paul pauses and releases the pressure valve some and says, let's just think about what glorious things God has done in your life. What wonderful freedom we have been given in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. It's something that we glory in. But for those in Corinth, it seemed that as they thought about who they were as Christians and how this purchases us freedom, that their glorying in freedom seems to have gone too far. And sometimes as Christians in Corinth, as well as in Orlando and other places, we do struggle to find that balance of what it means to live the Christian life, don't we? We look at God's word and we say we're free in Christ, and then we need to be pulled back, and then we go to this side and we need to be pulled back, and the word of God and the power of the Spirit and through brothers and sisters encouraging us, we walk that path that Christ calls the straight and narrow. Sometimes the church, or the Christian, the individual Christian, is like those in Galatia. You know, the problems in Galatia are much different than the problems in Corinth. In Galatia, they have men and women that were converted and they became Christians. And as they sought to live out the Christian life, they piled all of these rules on themselves. They just said, this is the way you live the Christian life. You add this rule, and then you add that rule, and you add that rule. You know, dress like this, and your hair is to look like this, and you have to read this many pages of your Bible a day, and touch not, taste not. And others go in the opposite direction. This is sort of where Corinth is. The motto in Corinth, you know, if you walked into their church and you think about those that talk about marketing, and maybe there was a committee, you know, there has to be a committee that decides how to market the church, and the motto that they came up with in Corinth is, all things are lawful for me. You know, you want to be a Christian, you want freedom in Christ, all things are lawful for me. And you can see the banner as they've proclaimed it. But as you know, the problem with a motto is that mottos can't say everything, right? It's like a bumper sticker. You're evangelized via bumper sticker. God has given 66 books, and we've reduced it to something that, you know, you see at the red light. So all things are not able to be said in a motto. And this motto in Corinth leads to sin. It leads to the congregation falling off the horse on one side, or falling into the ditch, as we say, on one side. And as this motto in Corinth leads to sin, the apostle wants to correct that. He wants to help move that along and balance that in the life of those in Corinth. So I mentioned already our text is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I'll read that again. All things are lawful for me, but All things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So what the apostle is trying to bring, or what the Word of God is trying to bring here, is this idea of our liberty as Christians. We have liberty. We are free in Jesus because we have believed the gospel. We're free from sin. We're free from the curse of the law. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from the traditions and commandments of men. We have freedom in Christ, and we know this, and we believe this, and we hold this to be dear. But what is happening today in the text is that there needs to be a corrective in our minds. We need to be reminded that that freedom has boundaries, and that freedom has a certain way that we are to walk as we walk in our freedom. So we're going to begin with looking at what the apostle here would describe as the limitations. So the limitations of all things lawful. The limitations of all things lawful. Now notice that the phrase is used here twice. In this one little verse, he uses the phrase, and then he gives another statement, and then he uses the phrase, and then he gives another statement. So he gives the phrase, all things are lawful for me, and then he gets a qualifier. And then he says it again, all things are lawful for me, and then he puts another qualifier on it. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So it's not a problem with the motto as such, all things are lawful. As we are Christians, we're free in Jesus. But the problem is how far people are taking it, or they're not having proper limitations that are on the phrase. You can think of the famous line from St. Augustine. He says, love God and do what you want. And you could say, that's a good statement. You know, if I live my life and I love the Lord and I do what I want, well, if I love the Lord, what I want is going to be to please the Lord. And I want to love God, and that means I love His Word, like the psalm that we just sang. And because we love the Word, we want to apply the do what I want according to the Word. So you can take a phrase like that, love God and do what you want, and that may be something that encourages you to walk according to the Word of God. And for others, they might hear that phrase, and for them it means they can just do whatever and live a crazy wild life and say, I love God, I can do what I want. You see the problem with the mottos as such. There's limitations. All things are lawful for me, qualifier. And in the background of this discussion in Corinth is what in Greek philosophy we call the adiaphora. And I'm sure some of you know that phrase. It's a term that has been adopted by Christian ethics, meaning things indifferent, adiaphora, so it's something that's indifferent. And sometimes you'll hear people say that. You know, there'll be a discussion going on. I think we should do this. No, I think we should do this. Well, this is what this says, and this is what this says. And some third party comes in and says, well, it's adiaphora, meaning it's indifferent. It doesn't matter. You know, you do that, and you do that. And that's a legitimate place to stand in some things within Christian ethics, and it goes back, as I said, to Greek philosophy. So in the ancient world, like in Corinth, there were ethical goods that were promoted. What does it mean to live the good life? How do you promote that which is good in life? And the Greeks would talk about things that many of us talk about as well. Things like wisdom and justice and moderation and bravery and piety and virtue. So these living according to these things was living the good life. Now, there's an opposite to good in Greek philosophy as well. Does anyone know what that's called? Bad. So there's good and there's bad. And the bad would be things like folly and injustice and excess and cowardice and impiety or furor and vice. So we can live the good life and pursue these things like wisdom and piety and justice and moderation. Or we can live the bad life and pursue things like folly and injustice and excess. And in between those two things, the good and the bad, in the way that the Greeks thought, was this whole section of gray area, which were called things indifferent or adiaphora, things that don't really have an ethical or a moral connection. And this is the context to the Corinthians becoming Christians, and they're converted, and they understand Jesus. They understand what it means to be a Christian. They say, Jesus died for my sins, and I'm trusting in Christ alone for the salvation that I live. And then as they begin to live out the Christian life, they're thinking in categories that they already have. Good life, bad life, things indifferent, things in the middle. But the problem is that Greek ethics in philosophy and biblical ethics are not always the same. We're not able to just have a complete move over from philosophical thinking to biblical or Christian thinking. So in Greek philosophy, if you were an army general, it would be very common for you to have a young boy on the side for your pleasure. And that was considered adiaphora. It was neither moral or immoral. It was just something you were allowed to do as a military person. And other things, such as fornication or adultery, those were considered adiaphora. Because what really matters in life is the life of the spirit or the life of the soul, and these things that we do in and with our body, they don't essentially matter because what matters is the soul. That is not Christian thinking. The body and soul matter in Christian thought. But in Greek thought, which the Corinthians had adopted, the things that pertain to the body don't really matter that much. And that's what the rest of chapter 6 is about. But what we're doing is we're beginning with that principle that says when we talk about being free in Christ and when we talk about having liberty, either liberty of conscience or Christian liberty, and we talk about things like adiaphora or things indifferent, we have to put them in the context of a principle. We have to think about them according to the Scriptures, and the Word of God has an ethic. The Word of God tells us that there is a morality that God wants us to walk according if we are in Christ. And we know that to be the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments teach us what it means to love God and to love our neighbor. This is how we walk as Christians. The Reformers would say that the law before you are a Christian is a stick that beats you. And then when you become a Christian, the law is a stick that helps you to walk. Same stick, two different uses in that context or applied individually to the Christian. So there are limitations. And in that limitation, we are considering things that are indifferent. In this phrase, all things are lawful. We know that it doesn't deal with things that we're commanded to do. It doesn't deal with things that we're forbidden from doing. It deals with these things in the middle. So limitations. Now, secondly, this morning, I want you to consider the ways that our liberty is helpful. That's the first qualifier that he puts. So we would call this the labor. How does it help us to labor when we walk in our freedom? So the labor of all things lawful. So he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. So that's the first qualifier on the motto. And we need to think about in terms of labor. How do we live? How do we work out the Christian life? What is helpful for us as we labor in the kingdom of God? When you're living out these liberties and you're walking in the freedoms that Christ has purchased for you, is it for your labor in the kingdom? Is it expedient? Is it helpful? The Greek word means profitable or bringing together or expedient, as some translations have. Is it good? Is it carrying with you? Is it helpful? And here the apostle wants us to think through this, to apply this. All things are lawful. I'm free to do this. The Word of God doesn't forbid it. The Word of God doesn't command it. So I need to think through whether this is something that's helpful for me and helpful as I live out life in the kingdom of God. We think of in terms of labor in freedom. Is it helpful? So there are things that are morally commanded, and there are things that are morally forbidden. But there's this gray area, this area of things that we call indifferent, where we need to apply certain things in our lives. And we ask ourselves, does this practice help me to be better prepared and equipped to labor in the kingdom of God? And of course, that's a wisdom principle, isn't it? It's something that we have to apply using wisdom. And I can give you a list, or at least some things that have been considered adiaphora, or things indifferent. And I'll read through the list, and some of you are going to have really strong opinions about whether you should or you shouldn't, whether you're for or against. And that's okay to have really strong opinions. And you need to realize that as you labor in the kingdom of God, and as you live out your life in the kingdom of God, another person in the congregation, someone else in the pew, and maybe even someone else in your family may have really strong opinions that are different than yours. And that's part of the principles of working through this in our minds. So here's a few of them. Classic Reformed Presbyterian trigger, the use of alcohol. That's historically considered a thing indifferent. You can have a really strong opinion and apply it personally in one way, and another Christian may have a really strong opinion and apply it in a different way. The use of social media. You know, you may know people that are Luddites, and they say, oh, the Christians should have no business doing this and that, and they shouldn't say this, and they shouldn't say that on social media. And then someone else say, you know, social media is so helpful for bringing the gospel to people that wouldn't have the gospel. And it becomes something where you can have a strong opinion here, a strong opinion here, and yet it's a thing indifferent. The Bible doesn't give commands or forbid such a thing. How you should spend money outside of your tithe. There's biblical principles for giving, but outside of those principles for giving, you may choose to spend money one way, and someone may choose to spend it another way, and you may not like how your neighbor spends his or her money, and they might not like how you spend your money. Should Christians use tobacco products? Debatable. People get upset and filled with ideas either way. Eating meat or being a vegetarian, that's one that the Apostle Paul gives in Romans 14. Certain medical conditions, may I use the V word? That's vaccine. Triggers. The best way to school your children. Esteeming certain days that the Bible doesn't command. You have a Christmas tree, you want to celebrate Christmas at home, others might not. things pertaining to dress and clothing. There's principles. Modesty is a principle in the scripture, but there's other things. There's freedoms. And you may have different applications than others. For example, I don't let my sons wear shorts to church. And they hate that. When they're adults, they'll probably wear shorts. But we apply those things. And all of these questions, all of these things, I give that list. There's hundreds and hundreds of other things that we could add to the list. You have opinions. You probably are sitting there, and as I say one, you say, well, Pastor Nathan, that's not one. That's right. Or, Pastor Nathan, that's wrong. And you're rearranging the list, and you're thinking, that's not something debatable, or that's not something appropriate. And all of that is an example in this context of things indifferent that we have to wrestle through as Christians, and we have to work through together. But the question or the principle that the apostle would put forward is, how does the use of these things, or how do the use of these things, refresh you for your kingdom work? How do they help you in your labor within the kingdom of God? He wants you to think through that, to work through that. How does your liberty and your walking in freedom help you in the kingdom? Does it help you to serve others in the kingdom of God? Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So he says, you have freedom, same author, Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul. You have freedom. Don't use it to sin. Use it to serve within the kingdom of God. Your labor is service. You are to serve your soul. You are to serve your neighbor. You are to serve your church. You are to serve the kingdom of God. And all of your freedoms are to be used to this end. Now, does that mean that every gray area or everything that is under this adiaphora or things in different category, does it mean that you have to have some deep spiritual meaning or some major ethical answer for why you do or do not do certain things? No, because they're things indifferent. If there was a major ethical connection or a major spiritual connection, you would have to say right or wrong. But they're things indifferent, and you need to be thinking through these and working through these. These gray areas need biblical categories, and we need to think through how it helps us to labor in the kingdom of God, for we serve a king, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, connecting to that king, connecting to that kingdom, is the next principle, which we would call lordship in all things lawful. Lordship in all things lawful. Now notice the second qualifier. I will not be brought under the power of any. So it's a question of lordship. That word power is a word that connects us in the New Testament to Christ, and it connects us to the kingdom of God. It's a word phrase relating to the power or having authority exercised over us. Essentially, what's being here said is the apostle saying, you're talking about freedom and you love to talk about freedom, but the reality is that your freedoms cause bondage. And you need to think through that. Who is your freedom for? Who are you free from? Power to liberate or to subject? When we think of freedom, who is Lord of your freedoms? Is your freedom subject to Christ? Are you living in freedom but find yourselves brought under the power of a certain liberty? And if that's true, then you are not free. You are enslaved. And the power rests not in Christ being Lord who has freed you, but the power lies in the enslavement over a freedom. I have a friend that's a godly man who at one time was in another Reformed denomination. And he would say that that denomination is known for enjoying their Christian liberties. He would describe it that way. And friends would get together and they would talk about the things of God. And they would drink a bunch and enjoy their liberties. And for some in that group, that worked out well for them. It was a fine thing for them. But for my friend, he eventually fell away because his liberties were more important than the actual truth of the theology that he was discussing and debating. So that liberty had become Lord. And he was bound to that liberty and serving that liberty rather than serving the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. That's what the apostle's talking about. He's wanting us to think that through and to ask yourself questions about your freedoms. Is your freedom subject to Jesus Christ? Is the thing that you're saying, hey, I'm free to do this, and others are saying, I'm free not to do this. Is that freedom subject to Christ, where it's causing you to be able to live out your life unto the glory of God and say, I'm living a better Christian life as I do this or don't do this? Where is the power in that thing? Friends, when you walk into a gray room, a darkened room, you need light. And that's true with our adiaphora. We talk about it as gray areas. We need light. We need the light of the Word of God. We need the light of the gospel. And it's not so easy as to just say, well, do this or don't do this. It's something we work through, something we wrestle through, something you may want to call alongside a Christian friend that you trust, someone that's mature, and say, I'm thinking about this or I'm thinking about that, and wrestle through those questions together. That's part of the beauty of the church. The friend that I mentioned, an illustration that he'll use from time to time in preaching, because he is a pastor now, an illustration that he will use is, if you ever watch like Discovery Channel or National Geographic Channel, and they have these pack of animals where there's the lion off on the side wanting to destroy one in the pack of animals so that he can eat dinner, who's he go for? He doesn't go for the pack that are tight together. He goes for that little straggler that stays out here and isn't actually connected to the community. And when we talk about Christian liberty and we talk about Christ being Lord over our liberties, we need to wrestle through those together and realize that we're not going to agree with everything in every application of our lives as Christians, but we're still called to labor together in working through those, asking, who is Lord over these things? Who is Lord? And this is true of these things that I've mentioned, alcohol and schooling and social media use. You need to wrestle through these things. And as you wrestle through it, realize that if you come to the conclusion that you ought not to do something, you've wrestled through it, you've searched the scriptures, you've talked to brothers and sisters in the church about it, we need to remember Romans 14, where the apostle applies within the context of Christian liberty that whatever is not of faith is sin. If we're not able to say, in good conscience I'm doing this, or in good conscience I'm not doing this, we avoid those things. Romans 14, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. So you ask yourself, are you enslaved to your Christian freedom? And if you are, throw it off. Get it out of your life. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And if you're walking in freedoms and you're walking by faith and you're growing in Christ and you're saying, Jesus is Lord over these things in my life, then keep walking. Keep walking by faith. You know, we see something of the abuses of this in Corinth. We've seen some already, and we're going to go into more next week. More abuses of this. But there are limitations on living the Christian life if you're living it as a motto. All things are lawful for me. And then we looked at these two qualifiers. But I want to look at one other area, and this is important as well. Fourthly, we see the liberty in all things lawful. The liberty in all things lawful. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor Nathan, you always preach three-point sermons, and we thought we were getting out early, and you bring a fourth point in. I am at liberty to have 4 points, and I'm bringing you 4 today. The liberty in all things lawful. We are called to walk in our liberty as Christians. The Bible talks about weaker brothers and stronger brothers. So weaker sisters and stronger sisters. And we are to pursue, according to the Scriptures, we are to pursue strength. We're not to be content just saying, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak, and I want everyone to bow to my weakness as a weaker brother. The Word of God calls us to walk in liberty, and that means that you might have to strengthen your conscience. It might have to be that you search the Scriptures and you build those muscles for strength of conscience and strength of faith. You are to strengthen faith and conscience and walk in the liberties that Christ has purchased for you. You see, you are free from the bondage of sin. That's one of your liberties. You are free from the curse of the law. That's one of your liberties. You are free from the ceremonies and the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. That is one of your liberties. And you are free from the traditions and commandments of men. That is one of your liberties. And you're called to walk a joyful Christian life in those liberties, being with the understanding that you are walking in Christ in the freedom that he has purchased for you, even on the cross. So be strengthened. You cannot have guilt in these things. James 2 says to walk in the perfect law of liberty. Isn't that funny? As he thinks through the Ten Commandments and he thinks through the moral law of God and these things that some may look at the Scriptures and just say, the bondage that God brings Christians under. And James says, I love the Lord. I love being in Christ. And I love walking as a Christian. And the law that God has given me is a law of liberty. I am free to not sin. I am free to not live in the bondage of sin. I am free to love God. I am free to love my neighbor. And friends, when we walk in the Christian life out of this gratitude for what Christ has done, that is when we truly understand liberty. We walk in the liberty that Christ has given to us and are reminded that those who are free in Christ are free indeed. So many live in guilt. So many of your neighbors live in guilt. The guilt of pressure put on them from a world that calls them to perfection. And of course, the standards of that perfection can be all sorts of different things. It might be pressure from work. Be this way. Do things this way. This is what it looks like. Or pressure from, again, I mentioned social media. Maybe often young women, you see this in current research. So many young women are living under guilt that they don't look this way or act this way or have this perfect Instagrammable life. And they live with that guilt. Or some may live with guilt for things that they have no control over. You know, my neighbor is suffering and I'm not suffering, so I feel guilty for that. Friends, Christ purchases liberty. That's a hard word. Purchases liberty for us that we may walk in freedom. Freedom from guilt. The Word of God has condemned us that we are sinners. And when we've come to Christ, we are free from that guilt. And so many live in that bondage and guilt from what others place upon us. Expectations that are not biblical. Expectations that are not found within the Word of God. And people try to conform us to their ideas of the way people should live or the way people should walk. And we have the Word of God for that. And we are to walk according to what the Scriptures say. And all of those other areas, those gray areas that we call adiaphora, we are to walk in freedom, but we are to walk in freedom before the Lord, knowing that liberty is for His use and for His kingdom. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is our liberty as we walk according to the Word of God. Our confession of faith talks about this when it says, God alone is Lord of the conscience, and He's left it free of the doctrines and commandments of men which are in anything contrary to His word or beside it, if matters of faith or worship. So these aren't matters of faith and worship. These are things contrary, so that to believe such doctrines or to obey such commands out of conscience is to betray true liberty of conscience and the requiring of an implicit faith and an absolute blind obedience is to destroy liberty of conscience and reason also. So you are called to walk in liberty, and you are to understand a phrase like all things are lawful for me. Understand it in its context. Put it, the qualifiers around it. Understand it in the context of what we call things indifferent or adiaphora. And when we walk in liberty properly, we see that we walk in such a way that we receive mercy and not wrath. We receive friendship and not enmity. Life and not death, and service and not bondage, sonship and not slavery, and glory and not hell. The liberty that Christ has purchased is precious. Understand the limitations, the labor, the lordship, and the liberty, and may Christ be glorified as you walk in freedom unto His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the freedoms that You have purchased for us in Christ. We pray, O Lord, that as we reflect on this and as we're challenged in various ways, that we would talk with others in the congregation about it, that we would be challenged by Your Word, and that we would consider all of our freedoms in the light of the gospel, in the light of our glorious King who loved us and gave Himself for us.